This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
I'm Beth Golay, and this is Marginalia, the podcast where we visit with authors about information located beyond the pages of a book. This episode was a bit of a departure for me. It features an interview I had recently with Kate DiCamillo about her book, Raimi Nightingale. Now, Kate DiCamillo is a two-time Newbery Award winner, a Newbery Honor winner, a National Book Award finalist, a former National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. And I've visited with award-winning authors before, but I had to begin this conversation with a confession. I told Kate that she was the first author of young people's literature that I had interviewed for Marginalia. Here's our conversation.
I was in New York and I was sitting around with, I did a panel with other people who, some of the finalists for the National Book Award who write for young people. And, there is a culture-wide kind of, when are you going to write a book for adults? You know, when are you going to write a real book? So we all kind of think that, let's just say I'm glad we're talking about kids' books because this is where the reading starts, right?
You know, you write for young readers, but you have many, many fans who are adults. Do you keep them in mind when you write?
This sounds terrible, but I don't keep anybody in mind when I write because then I would be doing it for the wrong reason. Let me see if I can articulate this without sounding crazy. Because what I'm always trying to do is to tell the story in the most truthful way I can. So if I'm sitting there thinking about will this appeal to adults or will this appeal to children, then I'm dealing with my ego, and my ego makes all kinds of bad decisions, but I can trust the story. So it's always that thing of getting out of my own way and telling the story as truthfully as I can and not thinking about pleasing somebody. You know, I'm super grateful for all those adults who have found their way to my books, but ultimately I feel like my goal always is to be true to the story. And that sounds so amorphous, but it's just, it's so clear as I'm doing it that I can't change it for one audience or another, but rather that the story wants something. And that's what I have to hew to.
Should adults read young people's literature?
Absolutely. I think so. And, you know, a good book is a good book is a good book. And there's an immediacy, I think, to children's books that might take some adults by surprise if they've only been reading books for adults. But ultimately, I think we read as human beings for the story. And there are so many fabulous stories in children's literature.
You know, I mentioned that this was the first time I'm interviewing an author who writes books for young readers because the audience here at the station, it's the adults who have the dial tuned in. The kids who are trapped in the backseat who happen to catch this, you know, they get a bonus today.
But, you know, and this is the truth, too. You know this as well as I do from so long in the book industry. It's the adults that put the books in the kids' hands. So whether they're buying it or hand selling it at a bookstore or a librarian who has a child before them. So adults are the conduits for the books for the kids. So we need to talk to them too.
You're the author of many, many books for young readers, and you've been awarded 2 Newbery Awards, a Newbery Honor, a Theodore Geisel Medal and Honor, National Book Award Honors. Has your message to young readers remained the same since your first book was published in the year 2000?
That is something that readers are probably better able to answer than I am because I have found this so much and no time more dramatic than the first time I did a school visit when Dixie came out. And I did my very first school visit and I stood up in front of the class and the teacher said to the kids, okay, now what we're going to do is discuss with Ms. DiCamillo the themes in this book. And I felt this wave of terror go through me because I didn't know what the themes were. And then this teacher and these kids worked together and pointed out the themes in the book. And after that school visit was over, I went back to my car and I wrote down all those themes so that I could then talk about them. All of which is to say, I don't know what I'm doing, but those themes that those kids pointed out on that first school visit, I think are still in so many of the books that I write, friendship and forgiveness and hope and light. So I think that I'm the same writer that I was when I started.
Rami Nightingale is your newest book, and it tells the story of the unlikely friendship of three young girls. It's 1975.
Correct.
And they met at baton twirling class.
Right.
And, you know, the lives of all three of these girls, you know, each life is just fraught with loss. The loss through death, the loss through abandonment. But among the loss, there were so many shafts of light. And I'm embarrassed to say how long it took me to correlate the book Rami was supposed to be reading, A Bright and Shining Path, The Life of Florence Nightingale, with all of the light imagery in the book.
Well, hey, guess what? That goes right back to what we were just talking about.
I know.
You know, I do all the interviews before the book goes out. And sometimes there I pick up tips about what the book is about when people are interviewing me. And then I go out onto the road and talk to readers. And so bit by bit, I put it together. But that's not something that I noticed when I was writing either.
Okay, I feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the great thing about talking, not, you know, only reader to writer, but reader to reader about books, is it helps you put things together. In a way that you know, that's what I love about book conversations and talking to people who have read the same book that you do. You make connections that you might not normally make, and you make connections with each other.
I noticed at the end of the book, at the contest, all of the supporting adults in the audience were women. Louisiana's grandmother, Beverly and her mother, Rami and her mother, Mrs. Sylvester, Ruthie from the hospital. In fact, other than the swimming instructor and Mr. Option, the librarian, these three girls were supported by women. Was that intentional?
It was not. And that was something that I learned right before the book got published. A reviewer pointed that out. And I thought, wow, that's true. But again, it's not intentional at all. And if it's anything, it's, you know, this book is so much, it's absolutely fiction, but it is also so, that kid, Rami, is the kid that I was. And I grew up without my father. He left when I was six. And I was raised by a town of people. So many of those people were women. So it's probably something happening at a subconscious level.
Now, your biographical material states that you faithfully write 2 pages a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, that 5 days a week needs to come out, because as long as, and I keep on meaning to say this to my publisher, but when I'm home, when I'm not traveling, it's just 2 pages a day every day, but I don't write when I travel. So it's actually much more complicated than that, but it's still those 2 pages. And everybody's always like, 2 pages, that's not enough. But 2 pages a day is a novel a year if you show up faithfully, you know.
Is it difficult to maintain that faithfulness?
That's a good question. I have learned to have faith in the process and in the story, and in the, it goes back to that thing about the story, and honoring the story and what the story wants to do. The story is smarter than I am. So again, if I get out of my own way, if I show up every day, I have faith that it will work out.
Are there days when you allow yourself more than 2 pages?
I allow myself more than 2 pages when I'm where I am right now, actually, which is I'm doing rewrites for my editor. And so um, I We'll do multiple two-page sessions in a day, sometimes as many as six or seven. But each time I say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and do two pages, I'm always kind of talking myself through it. But when I'm doing the initial writing, it's only two pages. And if people go, hey, if it's going really well, do you keep on going? I don't. I always have words from Hemingway in my head that to be nice to the writer that's going to exist tomorrow. So if it's going well, that means it will be easier to start in the morning.
In 2014, you were appointed by the Library of Congress to serve as the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. Can you talk to me a little bit about that experience? I'm not sure if you ever published like a quote-unquote platform, but were you able to accomplish goals that you set for yourself in that role?
Well, you know, that was such a huge honor, that appointment. And I went into it nervous and intimidated because it's so big. And I did have a platform, and the platform was Stories Connect Us. And it was one of those things where I realized by the end of the 2 years that, I was out there delivering this message about how reading together and talking about books together can connect us to each other. And that message got delivered back to me because I felt so connected and I got to go all over the country talking to groups of readers, and I felt like I was a part of a community of readers.
Now, I don't want to stop talking about Raimi Nightingale, but I'm nervous about spoilers, and I don't know why, because in all of my other interviews with books for adults, I haven't really cared if I spoiled it or not.
But that's interesting. Why do you think you care now?
Because I want the kids to read it.
Me as a reader, read the back of a book when I'm making the selection, other than I'll glance at the blurbs, but I never want to know what's going to happen. And so I always have a hard time with reviews because I don't want to give away too much plot. So I'm very much on your page about, okay, let's not do spoilers. Do you want to talk around it?
I want to be careful not to give the story away, but I have questions and I have observations.
Great. Maybe I can use some of them to help me talk about the book. What are those observations?
Oh, I just really, like just with the characters, Beverly, she was trying to be so tough. And I just knew she was going to hold that woman's hand. And
it's one of my favorite moments in the book. And I don't think that gives away too much. Mm-hmm. And we won't go into it in detail, but it's Raimi, as I said, is very much the kind of kid that I was, this worried, watchful, hopeful kind of kid, but very timid. And Beverly is the kind of kid that I so admired and wanted to be, somebody who can do anything, utterly capable, who's tough, but yet has this tenderness in her. And so that moment when Beverly walks in and takes someone's hand, it's one of those things that happens sometimes when you write, when it shows me more how I want to be in the world, what kind of person I want to be. That person, the person who's not afraid to take someone's hand.
So was there a Louisiana in your life as well, or somebody?
No, I just said to a kid who asked me, did you base Louisiana on someone you know? And I said, have you ever known anybody like Louisiana? And she gave me this serious look and said, never. And I said, exactly, me either. But I love Louisiana because she is relentless in her hope. And again, that's another thing where you find out who you want to be by writing. And she will not give up. She might not be made of sturdy stuff the same way that Beverly is, but she will not give up.
I was also paying attention to the adult roles in this book. The librarian, who she did not want to disappoint, the swimming instructor, who she didn't want to disappoint him either, but it wasn't until, the end of the book that she realized he really had prepared her for this place she wanted to be in life. But, you know, I keep thinking about that darn Mrs. Sylvester and why she kept sticking around at the place of business. I mean, he was gone.
He was gone. But, you know, Mrs. Sylvester is the kind of person, well, somebody's got to run the business. So she was keeping the balls up in the air as best she could. It's interesting. I haven't really spent that much time talking about Mrs. Sylvester. And, you know, she doesn't really do that much for them. She's there. She utters that phrase that Raimi loves, how may we protect you? But she's not, you know, the life-saving coach gives her something that she doesn't realize what a huge gift it is. And also that thing, and we're not going to give anything away here, but I think I can talk about it without doing that. That's another thing that I discovered, and I think that maybe readers will implicitly get, is that you don't know what you're capable of. You're capable of astonishing things, things that you have no idea that you're capable of. All these wonders are inside of you. And you can do things that you do not think that you can do. And that was the gift that he gave her.
Well, is there anything else you want the reader to take away from this book, whether the reader is a young person or an adult who gives this gift of literature to a young person?
When I was in Michigan, I think it was this summer, there was a woman who came through the line, and I don't think she would mind me saying her age, because that was how she started with me. She said, I'm 80 years old, and my father left when I was 6 years old. And I needed this book. I need this book now. And so I think I see her face all the time. And I think there are these losses that we're always trying to process, and that story can help us do that. And story can give us a way to talk about it. So I hope that readers, young or old, laugh, because there is a lot of humor, I think, in this book, but there's also a lot of hope and heart and a way to move through the hard things that happen to us.
That was Kate DiCamillo, author of Raimi Nightingale, which was published by Candlewick Press. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover new episodes at kmuw.org or through iTunes. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita. Our editor is Luann Stevens. Our engineer is John Cyphers, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.